Your line just went down. Production stopped. A supervisor wants answers. And someone's digging through a binder for the maintenance history. Every one of those minutes costs money. And most of the time, that breakdown could have been prevented. That's where MaintainX comes in. MaintainX catches the failure before it happens. Preventative maintenance plans on every key asset to improve reliability. Work orders assigned and tracked right from your phone. Everyone from the floor to the front office is in the loop. Companies on MaintainX have cut unplanned downtime by over 30% and saved thousands on parts and labor every year. See what MaintainX can do for your operation. Try MaintainX free at MaintainX.com, an Autodesk company.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ever Google a money question and end up 12 tabs deep with 12 different answers? This podcast is your shortcut back to clarity. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast breaks down financial decisions with a team of trusted journalists. They explain the why behind decisions like investing, home buying, and choosing credit cards with clear, research-backed insights. No jargon, no misinformation. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
Data centers don't wait, and neither should your supply chain. From power and connectivity to racks and critical power, Graybar brings the products and the experience data centers need now. And with deep inventory and logistics expertise, we keep projects moving from first delivery to final install. With hundreds of locations and a nationwide delivery fleet, we help you bring facilities online on time and on budget. Yep, Graybar does that.
We are looking for a winner right here at 92.3 The Fan. Enter the code word chicken. Chicken, C-H-I-C-K-E-N, at 92.3thefan.com before 2 o'clock for your chance to win a four-pack of combo meals from Mr. Hero. There's something for everyone to crave with the legendary Roman burger, hot buttered cheesesteak, a variety of steak sandwiches, chicken, deli subs, over 8 sidekicks, and more. Mr. Hero has all your cravings covered. Order in-store or online at MrHero.com, MrHero.com. It's all from Mr. Hero and Sports Radio 92.3 The Fan. Again, chicken at 92.3thefan.com before 2 o'clock.
Baskin and Phelps, 92.3 The Fan. He is Jeff Phelps. I'm Andy Baskin. Dan Menigan is here. Meredith Kane giving you the 2020s. And you are here, too, as well. 216-474-0092. 216-474-0092. We've had the chance to hear from Scott Petrak today from the Chronicle-Telegram. That was at 11 o'clock from BrownZone.com. Tyvis Powell is coming up in less than 20 minutes. He's our partner on the Browns Radio Network, whether it's pre- or post-game. And then you just heard Todd Monken's press conference, as we do each and every day, especially here during camp. Are we still in camp, technically? Yeah, we're still in camp. We're in camp until after.
That's true. Till after the Buffaloes?
I think so, yeah.
Practice?
Although all of the open-to-the-public practices are through. If you missed a moment in our show, use that rewind feature on the Odyssey app. It is powered by Integrated Restoration, your local experts in water, fire, and storm disaster restoration. Integrated Restoration's our friends who like to power the rewind feature. Again, 216-474-0092. All right, Jeff, so let's go back and talk a little bit about what Todd Monken had to say. Again, he did lay out exactly what we're going to see on Saturday in the next preseason game against Buffalo. Shadour will play the first half. Deshaun will get the third quarter, and Dylan Gabriel will get the fourth quarter.
And Taylen Green will apparently get water or something.
Maybe they'll give him the last series of down. I got to believe.
We'll see him in game three.
Don't you think if Shadour came out there and they scored on their first three drives, you still think you get the whole first half? Like, I think if he
That's
came
what he
out.
Said.
Yeah, I know. I was like, because I thought it was interesting that Monken brought up the way we used to do that in these preseason games and how you were able to kind of stretch it out. I also thought it was interesting. Someone said, will Saturday's game be the dress rehearsal? Or were they talking about New England at that point? Did you catch that, Dan? Somebody asked the question, will it be? It was a real quick question in the background. And he goes, I haven't made up my mind yet on that. So that means that while there'll be interesting things done in Thursday's joint practice, that he still values and feels like there's importance about the preseason game on Saturday.
It's delightful.
There are a lot of folks that would say, and we've heard it for the last week, hey, what's more important? And a lot of people think it's the it's what's going to happen on Thursday in the joint practice.
Jared Verse said that, basically.
Yeah, because it's one-on-one. That's why. And Todd talked about that, too, saying, look, we get to put our ones up against their ones, and that's what's important here. What'd you get out of it?
Andy, I just want them to get through this thing. Don't lose anybody who's key with injury and pick a quarterback. I know we have to talk about this for 4 hours a day. It's a privilege, and I'm happy to do that. But just pick a quarterback and let's go.
He said something we had to tweak out just a little bit there because he used a word they're probably not supposed to use. But he said, let's just get going with it. You know, I think he thinks the same way you do. I think he just wants to pick a quarterback and go at this point. But he knows he owes it to the guys, I think. He doesn't
owe really?
No, he doesn't owe anything to anybody.
That's what I think.
But I do think he feels like there's a sense of responsibility as a head coach to live up to your word and say, this is going to be a competition. I told you this is what I wanted to do with the quarterbacks. Again, he always has the right to change
it. He also didn't say how long that competition would last.
Well, he was hoping that it didn't even come into camp.
Exactly right. And he said, I'm not going to back myself into a corner, but this is the plan for now. It'll always change.
We're just hearing too many things out of Berea from people that I think we trust that it still has not been decided. I heard Ken say it this morning. That's why I'm kind of being respectful on this. That Ken had made it sound like when they were going to break at one point that Deshaun is the quarterback. Deshaun is the starting quarterback. Now, look, I've said for more than a year now that don't be surprised if Deshaun is your starting quarterback when the season starts. And look where we are. We're right there right now, and this could happen, especially when people had just completely written him off. And I mean, like, I got haters on social media going, have you watched the last 4 years? Yeah, I've watched the last 4 years. I have. I get it. I understand it. But I also know that when, you know, I buy something, I want it to work. And I'll do whatever it takes, even if I've got to pay to get it fixed again and again and again to try to get it to work. I want it to work. There's way too much invested into Deshaun Watson. There just is. And I can't overlook that when it comes to the opportunity to be the starting quarterback against Jacksonville.
What has been reported to this point, guys, is that Deshaun Watson, from the huddle to the formation, is the superior quarterback. The minute the ball is snapped, Shedeur Sanders has been the superior quarterback. That's what's been reported by people who have come through camp. And I think that's why this quarterback competition is at a bit of a standstill.
And if you have good play elsewhere on your offense and your quarterback does all the stuff that he's supposed to do and he gets the snap and he turns around and he hands it to Quinshon Judkins, who Todd obviously loves, and the line does the job, your offense looks good. That's why I would expect Deshaun to start at this point, but you never know. But we'll see. You don't want to be discombobulated. That'll get you turnovers, and that'll get you in trouble.
No, and then the other point that was that I caught criticism for was that I thought that, you know, if Deshaun goes out and he's effective, people aren't going to boo him. And I don't even know where we're at that. But to be honest with you, if he goes out there and is effective, Deshaun, in the second half, and throws a couple touchdown passes, you're not going to boo. You're just going to, if you really don't like him, you're going to slip into apathy. That's where you're going to be on this thing. You're not going to be, if he's helping the rest of the team move forward, especially in the second half at home. Because a lot of people were making a big deal about the fact they're like, well, it makes more sense to start Deshaun on the road because that way you won't get booed by the fans who don't like him.
We mentioned that.
Yeah, but it's just one of those, it's rabbit ears. And you know as well as I do, if he comes out there and they're, say they beat Jacksonville week one and Deshaun's a starter, that you're going to be, oh, really? Then they go, Tampa after that, right? And then maybe they beat Tampa 2 weeks, and then Baker Mayfield, right? I mean, now all of a sudden you'll change your mind real quick. We all know it. We get it. Like, as much as the backup quarterback is always the fan favorite here, if you're a quarterback that can help this team win games, sorry, you'll erase the pass. I know you will, because you want the wins. The wins now are more important than the misery that you've had in the past. Is that the read you're getting? Like, what else did you get out of Monken that you might be able to read into what we're saying?
Honestly, Andy, nothing. I thought he just kind of kept things right down the middle, and we'll see what he decides. A lot of football this week. If he can make a decision next week, great. If he can't wait, make a decision next week, then what the heck's going on? Come on, man.
If he doesn't make a decision next week, they're getting ready to trade guys out. We're still up in the air. We're going to wait until after New England. If that's the case, I think you're looking at a trade like immediately following or immediately before New England. That they want to. Do you think they need to bring in another quarterback?
Do they need to? No.
Will they?
No. Should they have some time ago? Yeah, probably. Look, I've made it real clear what I think of the quarterback group. Hopefully they play better, which the young guys certainly could as they get better. I still think the most intriguing guy on the roster, quarterback-wise, it's Shadur. Closely followed by Talen Green, and we're not gonna see Talen. You know, I want to see that skill set, and I'm just curious to see if they can do anything with it. I don't know that they can, but come on, man, that guy's intriguing as all get out.
Dan, do they need to bring in another quarterback?
God, no. There's no one available that's any better than what you're watching right now.
Do you think one of these guys is getting traded?
I don't think so, due to the fact that one, you're stuck with, and the other is cheap. And so you kind of need to fill out these rooms somehow with some level of talent, and especially if those backups are going to be of the low-priced variety.
And if you're looking at 2027, what difference does it make?
Yeah.
I hate to say that.
Not to mention most time to run the most amount of what Todd Monken would want to run and see what this offense looks like. I think going out there and dumpster diving for another quarterback solves nothing.
I do wonder if you put a poll out there for Browns fans right now and they could vote for Watson, Sanders, Gabriel, sorry, Jeff, or other.
Other.
How do you think other would do?
Otto Graham is not available, Andy.
How do you think other would do? I think
other would get more than 50% of the votes. No, I take that back. Shadur would get about 70% of the votes.
And then
other would get maybe 10, 15, 20.
All right, we'll kick that around. Tyvus Powell, our partner on the Browns Radio Network, is going to join us next right here on Baskin and Phelps, 216-474-0092.
Your line just went down. Production stopped. A supervisor wants answers, and someone's digging through a binder for the maintenance history. Every one of those minutes costs money, and most of the time, that breakdown could have been prevented. That's where MaintainX comes in. MaintainX catches the failure before it happens. Preventative maintenance plans on every key asset to improve reliability. Work orders assigned and tracked right from your phone. Everyone from the floor to the front office is in the loop. Companies on MaintainX have cut unplanned downtime by over 30% and saved thousands on parts and labor every year. See what MaintainX can do for your operation. Try MaintainX free at MaintainX.com, an Autodesk company.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ever Google a money question and end up 12 tabs deep with 12 different answers? This podcast is your shortcut back to clarity. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast breaks down financial decisions with a team of trusted journalists. They explain the why behind decisions like investing, home buying, and choosing credit cards with clear, research-backed insights. No jargon, no misinformation. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
Data centers don't wait, and neither should your supply chain. From power and connectivity to racks and critical power, Graybar brings the products and the experience data centers need now. And with deep inventory and logistics expertise, we keep projects moving from first delivery to final install. With hundreds of locations and a nationwide delivery fleet, we help you bring facilities online on time and on budget. Yep, Graybar does that.
Basket of Phelps, 92.3 The Fan. Well, on game day, we have another partner. Jeff blows me off, I blow Jeff off, and we bring in somebody way more knowledgeable than the two of us. He is Tyvis Paul, former Buckeye, Bedford Hall of Famer, not to mention various NFL jerseys across the league. And right now, Tyvis is on the Wise Heart Right, We Make It Right, Call Kyle Wright Hotline. Hi, Tyvis, how are you?
You did that phenomenally. You know how many times I looked over at that board on Saturday and said that? Wise Heart Right, We Make It Right, Call Kyle Wright Hotline. Woo, I said it.
Good job, man.
He was all excited about hearing it for him.
Well, all right. I haven't had a chance to talk to you. And I think sometimes when I listen to the postgame show for you guys, you tend to be the voice of reason. Not that Jeff isn't the voice of reason, but I think
Because I freak out on that show, yeah, don't I, Tyvis?
No, I think fans, that sometimes you kind of calm folks down with a little bit of player reality. So just give me your overall interpretation for anybody that didn't hear it after the game on Saturday.
Yeah, no, I thought that Deshaun went in there, and I thought he looked good. I thought he ran the offense really well. Thought the ball came out of his hands really quickly. I thought that obviously you didn't love the fumble that he had, and the only one play he had was when he tried to throw it to, I want to say it was Casey Concepcion. He threw a little bit in the dirt. There was only two passes that I didn't really love from him. Would love to see him push the ball down the field a little bit more. I think that's what you got with Shador when he came in. He showed you he could push the ball down the field. His bad plays was he fumbled the snap. That was one. Had one batted pass, and then he sailed the pick, the little over the dig route or whatever. Outside of those three, I thought that Shador showed a lot of growth from last year, looked very comfortable in the pocket even when he was being blitzed, bought himself some time, didn't retreat or anything like that, got the ball out down the field for some explosive plays. Defensively-wise, I thought the ones was good. Michael Coach Jr. was the highlight of the day. Jeff knows how I feel about him. Outside of that, the twos and threes got a lot of work to do.
Do you think Deshaun executed, Tyvis, what he was being asked to, or do you think that was just what he's physically and maybe scheme-wise capable of doing right now?
I think that the first 15 plays were scripted. I think that he did a great job of hitting the drive starters, getting things going, trying to catch a rhythm. And, you know how it is. When completions equals confidence. You know, the more you complete, the more confidence you get. This is a guy who hasn't played in 2 years, so I think he's just trying to get himself into the groove of things. Ultimately, I think it'll be interesting to see how he does in Buffalo, being that if he will push the ball down the field, because he won't have the first 15 plays scripted. So he'll be coming in and trying to do his own thing, get his own rhythm going. I was watching some highlights. I seen it was a couple of downfield throws that he could have taken, but he kind of didn't pull the trigger on them. So I love to see him make improvements on that for the next game.
Let's talk about depth. And I know we talked about this before the game too. Secondary depth is going to be really interesting. You guys are a little banged up. Obviously it seems like they got to go out and get some help there, but just your thoughts on that.
Yeah, I mean, we've been saying this for like two, three years now. They need some depth in the secondary. You know, if the starters is good, but if one of those guys get hurt, people's going to be nervous for that next guy jogging in the game. Like I said, Michael Coates had two really good plays. The PBU was really good, and the interception was good. I think he operated out of that nickel position, so that really doesn't help, you know, for the outside guys. Outside of that, yeah, it was a whole lot of nothing there. So they got to figure that out. Like I said, just when I was talking to Jeff about it after the game, what I was telling him was, you know, it seems like it's a bunch of guys that aren't knowledgeable of football, of what's going on. And what I mean by that is, I mean, like, you know, when you're a young guy out there, you're worried about trying to get your assignment. You're worried about what you have, you know, and you don't really necessarily take a look at the offense to see what they look like they're doing. What did my coach tell me about these certain formations? What's this offensive coordinator's tendencies in certain situations? You know, you don't think about those things. You're just worried about making sure that you got your assignment right. And I think we got to get past that. Because I feel like, you know, some of the stuff right now is just vanilla, plain Jane offense. And I feel like we should be able to see what's about to happen and have a good idea for it. I just feel like we're not there. And I think that that's just because guys haven't played a lot of football in this league.
Tyvus Powell joining us. You hear him on the Browns Radio Network. Andy pregame with me on postgame. Jared Verse spoke today, Tyvus. That guy, he said, I'm really disrespectful to my teammates in practice. I love the energy this guy's brought to the team. What have you thought of him so far as a member of the Browns?
I think I understand exactly why Andrew Berry made it a requirement that he's in that trade. You know, I think that Miles is a great talent, and he's one of one. He's obviously a walking Hall of Famer. But I don't know how Miles was in the locker room. When you listen to this guy talk, he's the vocal leader that you wanted Miles to one day be. You know, he's that guy that can get guys going. He can get up and motivate an entire defense and things like that. He's been really good for these young guys. You know, getting Spencer Fano ready to go by starting fights with him and going at him every day in practice to let him know, like, hey, you know, I'm one of the best in this league. You're not going to see too many people better than me. So if you can stop me, you should be good in this league. You know, and I think that he's done a great job of just getting guys ready to go and putting a lot of faith and confidence in the rest of that defense, you know. So I think that he's been what the Browns kind of needed in that locker room for right now.
Tyvus, you did a pretty good tour around the NFL when you played. How many – I'm just trying to think off the top of my head. Did you run into any first-year head coaches in the NFL?
I think when I got to San Fran, I believe that was Kyle Shanahan's first year. Was Kyle's first year in San Francisco 2017?
Yeah, that would have been
If it was, then he was one.
Yeah. So the bigger question is what do first year head coaches, what don't they know? You know what I'm saying? Like when you've got an experienced head coach, there's a difference, isn't there? Or is there not? You tell me. You know better than
that. Because the first year, you spend a lot of the first year trying to set the culture. You're trying to find the guys that fit what you're looking for, right? And you have to deal with the last coaching staff's guys and how they ran things. So you got to try to break guys of that habit and get them to see things the way you want it to be seen. That, to me, is what year one is all about, is getting guys to buy into what you're selling. Because It's hard for guys, especially guys that have seen success in the NFL, to just drop what they know and just go off of what you're saying, you know, because right. They feel like they got it. I got it. I've been in this league for years. I know what to do to get ready, you know. So it's a lot of that going on for that first year. And until you go out there and go into battle and show that you're putting these guys in the right position to succeed, you're going to fight that uphill battle all year long.
Tyvus, I would think Todd Monken has something that could certainly be an advantage for him, and that is that he is a first-time NFL head coach, and other teams probably don't know what his ultimate offense might look like. They can look at the Baltimore stuff and everything else, but in this situation, they don't know. So how do you put together a preseason game plan that can give you the opportunity to evaluate your own players while not giving up too much of what you might be doing once it starts counting for real?
Thing that what you do is you try to, that's why practice is so important, because you try to do everything you can to get those game-like situations so you can see how guys respond. When you get to the game, you know, that's just football. That's just seeing how good of a football player you are, you know, just fundamentally sound, because there won't be any gimmicks or anything like that in the middle of those games, because they don't want to show their playbook. So that's why, like, this Thursday when they go joint practice against Buffalo, that's why it's a big day. You know, everybody's worried about the quarterbacks, but there's other guys that's also looking at this as their Super Bowl, you know, because this is their only chance to really showcase that they can get things done against other NFL teams. So I think that's kind of how you got to navigate this practice, putting them in situations that you want to see how they handle those situations, and you hope that guys is giving you 110%.
Tyvus, give me what you really liked. Give me a couple positives from Saturday. I thought you were pretty positive right out of the gate, but things that fans should be excited about, even though sometimes it looks a little murky.
I think that you should be excited about the wide receiver core. I think that with Bond, Boston, Concepcion, and even Sprinkle Judy in there, I know Harold Fannin dropped the ball, but I think that you got four legitimate playmakers right there that can do some things, that can stretch the field. And that's a part of the offense that we haven't seen in quite some years. You know, Amari Cooper was the last great receiver that we had that really made a difference in game. I think you got those four guys that can absolutely take over a game at any given moment. So that's one thing to be excited about. I thought the offensive line was okay in the passing attack. What I was worried about was the run game. You think against the twos, you get a lot more push there, and I didn't see that on the defensive side of the ball. I think that they're pretty solidified there. You just hope that, you know, we haven't seen a lot of Carson Schwessinger. We haven't seen Malik Collins and Mike Hall's been missing. But when we seen those guys early on, they seemed like they were right where they left off. You know, the last time we seen them, they all were very productive. So you hope that you continue to get that. And that defense, for them not to have Myles Garrett and Jim Schwartz, it still looks like a really good defense. Hopefully, don't know what Dale Pitt went out with. Hopefully, it wasn't nothing too serious.
How do you make sure Quinshon Judkins gets an amazing amount of touches while still getting Dylan Sampson enough where he can impact the game?
I think that right there goes off of the flow of the game. You know, you got to look at your offensive line and see what they're getting done. If they're getting a push, you know, obviously you ride Quinshon's shoulders on that one. You let him do his thing because that's where he thrives at. If they're not getting that much of a push and it's getting kind of stalemated on that offensive line, then you insert a Dylan Sampson in there. You know, that kind of, you know, you said you run those screens and things like that. That slows a defensive line down because they can't be so aggressive. So I think it's just about playing the game. You know, if you see your offensive line starting to struggle, throw a screen pass in there. Now that D-line is thinking about screens anytime Dylan Sampson's in the game. Now you can run the ball and maybe catch him off guard and stuff like that. So I think it's just about mixing and matching that the whole entire game and seeing how that offensive line is responding to that defensive line that they're going against.
Tyvus, let's do it again on Saturday. I will see you on the pregame show, and then, of course, we'll always hear you on the postgame show on the Browns Radio Network right here on 92.3 The Fan. Thank you, Tyvus.
I appreciate you guys. Go Bucks.
Thanks, right, buddy.
We'll talk to you later. Oh, number one, by the way. Thank you.
Yes, we are.
Very nice. Goodbye. Tyvus Powell, nice enough to join us on the Wise Heart Right. We make it right. Call Kyle Wright. Hotline.
When equipment breaks down and operations come to a halt, every single second counts. So why is your maintenance team spending 60% of their time doing anything but turning wrenches? MaintainX is the AI-powered maintenance and asset management system that helps your team get back to actually fixing breakdowns. No more searching for manuals. No more hunting down parts. No more drowning in paperwork. With MaintainX, your team can access manuals from anywhere, create new procedures in minutes, and turn voice notes into clear and complete work order feedback. What used to take hours now only takes minutes. Keep your operations moving and your wrenches turning. Join over 13,000 maintenance teams that are already fixing more and filing less. Try MaintainX for free today. Go to MaintainX.com/AI. That's maintain in the letter X.com/AI.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ever Google a money question and end up 12 tabs deep with 12 different answers? This podcast is your shortcut back to clarity. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast breaks down financial decisions with a team of trusted journalists. They explain the why behind decisions like investing, home buying, and choosing credit cards with clear, research-backed insights. No jargon, no misinformation. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
Data centers don't wait, and neither should your supply chain. From power and connectivity to racks and critical power, Graybar brings the products and the experience data centers need now. And with deep inventory and logistics expertise, we keep projects moving from first delivery to final install. With hundreds of locations and a nationwide delivery fleet, we help you bring facilities online on time and on budget. Yep, Graybar does that.
Every week on the Moth Podcast, real people tell their stories live on stage.
I burst into tears. And I wasn't sure if I was crying because I hadn't been kissed in a really long time or if I had just never been kissed like that before.
To hear fascinating, heartbreaking, and sometimes hilarious stories from astronauts, teachers, farmers, and people just like you, follow and listen to The Moth wherever you get your podcasts.